The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What do you want from me? What is this about?
Brace yourself, Loki.
This isn't about you.
Rise.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the MCU Diaries. It's a podcast dedicated to every Marvel Studios series on Disney+. So sit back, relax, and let's break down Earth's mightiest heroes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the MCU Diaries. I am your host, Blake Larson, and today we are talking about episode 102 of Loki, The Variant. I really like this episode. This is a fantastic continuation of what went on in the first episode. It builds on the exposition that we had, but it also gives us such great characterization and moves us to a great point in this series and where it's heading and the direction that it is heading. And to be honest, I'm just a big fan of Michael Waldron, the head writer for this show, and the direction of the show by Kate Herron is it's a really great pairing. And the opening scene that I played right there, not only is the sound editing perfect, but that red light that comes from when the female Loki shows up. Oh my goodness gracious. Just brilliant in every single way. We're going to get into the show, but before we do, of course, I want to invite you to go to maryandblake.com to check out all of our great podcasts that we have there, including Outlander Cast or The Potterverse or The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake, among many, many others. Even all of the episodes for the MCU Diaries, which include episodes for WandaVision and also The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. For some reason, I can't talk today. I have no idea why. And of course, if you want to get in touch with us, you can just follow Mary and Blake on all of the social media platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or Instagram. We're everywhere except for TikTok. I refuse to take part in TikTok. It's ruining America. So that is that. What do you say we get into this episode? Let's break it down, shall we? Yeah, that's right. We're talking Loki episode 102, The Variant. And as I mentioned earlier in this episode, The Variant builds on what is called the hook of the first episode. And to me, it shows its cards for the rest of the series in what is definitely an unexpected fashion. I mean, this episode 2 has a really hard job. It has to build on the hook of episode 1 and continue to expand the story in a compelling manner so as to effectively render that hook that it took so much care in building, well, it has to render that inert. Hold on. Calm down. I know that doesn't make a whole ton of sense. Yes, hear me out. Let's define a hook. And thank you to Professor Wikipedia. This gives us a very easy definition. The hook is the nucleus of both a film and its screenplay. It is what grabs the viewer's attention, preferably in the first 5 to 10 minutes, as a writer might expect to find a literary hook in the first chapter of a novel. In Loki's case, the hook of the show is Loki finding his way to the TVA, being a fish out of water, and having the ability to travel to any time, at any time. It's an interesting premise for Loki, as it provides a vibrant world, and hopefully it builds out the character a little bit more that we're seeing in Loki, which, of course, is something that we discussed in the first episode. And if you want to hear all about that, you can hear about that character deconstruction in the previous episode to this. Go back, listen to it. It's amazing. The trick for any great show, however, is to eventually move beyond the promise of its hook. Consider the hook for any show as if it were like a Hostess cupcake. A Hostess cupcake tastes great in the beginning. Love it. It's amazing. It's one of my top five, maybe top three best desserts all time. But really, as we all know, it's just empty calories. There's no actual sustenance in a Hostess cupcake. If there's a nuclear war, you know, 50 years later, there's still going to be Hostess cupcakes, and they won't have molded over in any way. It's all just fake stuff. And that is like a hook. It's good, but it's kind of no sustenance. And many shows have begun with great hooks. I mean, take, for example, Lost. And, of course, the plane crash on the island. Breaking Bad. A science teacher who makes meth to pay for his family. Or even a show like Flash Forward, when the whole world passes out for 2 minutes. I can pretty much guarantee that you've heard of Lost and Breaking Bad. But I'm also just as sure you probably either don't remember Flash Forward, or it's a show that hasn't been on your consciousness since 2009, when it was canceled. Why? Because the first two shows moved beyond the hook very deftly and easily, whereas the third, in Flash Forward, could never overcome the empty allure of its hook when everybody passed out for 2 minutes. Why? Because Flash Forward wasn't focused on its characters or the struggles that they had to overcome, like Lost and Breaking Bad. Instead, it was solely dependent on the mystery of, why did this event occur? What was the great mystery for the whole world passing out for 2 minutes? Problem is, there was nothing else behind its premise. It is the quintessential Hostess cupcake. And as we all know, in Mary and Blake Mean Niv, and if you're longtime listeners to us, you know that there are two main pillars which make any story compelling. Character being one, and plot being two. And if a story intends on sticking to a single pillar, either character or plot, it better be the best pillar ever created. It better be the best plot that's ever been made. Or it better be the best character study that's ever been written. Unfortunately, in Flash Forward's case, it did neither pillar any justice. The characters were terrible, and the plot was slave to its hook. Which is why it's been lost to television history, and is actually remembered for what is considered to be one of the worst lines to ever grace the small screen. Because I was loaded, okay? Just Google or YouTube Flash Forward because I was loaded. It's Joseph Fiennes at his worst. Anyway, putting this into context, the whole hook and story and everything, if Loki was only about the inner workings of the TVA and how Loki was going to operate in its world, then we would be in pretty bad shape. Like Lost and Breaking Bad, however, Loki, the series, it pretty quickly acknowledges its hook, and it appreciates it. But the second episode, it definitely tips its cards to its true intent. And what is that? What moves us beyond the hook? What is the point of what we're getting at here? That is free will versus determinism. Yes, another big, big topic here. I get it. And unlike the cringy and on-the-nose Ship of Theseus argument made in WandaVision between White Vision and Faux Vision, the posited theory here in Loki the series is handled with a lot more subtlety. So I think what we should do is have an operating definition of free will versus determinism. Determinism is the determinist approach that proposes that all behavior has a cause and is thus predictable. Free will is an illusion, and our behavior is governed by internal or external forces over which we have no control. Free will, however, is the idea that we are able to have some choice in how we act and assumes that we are free to choose our behavior. In other words, we are self-determined. So, are we free or are our actions predetermined? And most importantly, how does this argument affect our main character's arc and fate in this universe? What does this mean and what does it do to Loki the character? Sure, we have the cute opening with Lady Loki beating up Agency 20 and taking her hostage at the medieval festival to the soothing sounds of Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero. There's also an adorable interaction between Loki and Miss Minutes, some more exposition so we understand what Loki's purpose is, the mechanics of what a Nexus event is, and how the TVA uses those canisters to reset timelines before the Nexus event occurs. Because if a Nexus event occurs and it gets too much, then the sacred timeline, it blows up. Loki, the character, even tells us about the fine intricacies between the projection and the duplication. It's all good stuff that builds on the fine expository hook of the last episode. Loki, the series, though, efficiently and slyly pushes past all that to arrive on the real matter at hand. Are we free or are we not? And further evidence of this as to why these Marvel shows are actually so important and necessary to the MCU storytelling is the fascinating conversation between Mobius and Loki and how that defines what we're going to watch for the rest of this series.
I mean, you really believe in all this stuff, don't you? I don't get hung up on believe, not believe. I just accept what is.
Three magic lizards.
Timekeepers.
Created the TVA, and everyone in it,
right?
Including you.
Including me.
You see, every time I start to admire your intelligence, you say something like that.
Okay, who created you, Loki?
A frost giant of Jotunheim.
And who raised you?
Odin of Asgard.
Odin, god of the heavens, Asgard, mystical realm beyond the stars, frost giants, listen to
it's
yourself.
It's not the same, it's completely different.
No,
it's
not the same. Actually, it's exactly the same thing, because if you think too hard about where any of us came from, who we truly are, it sounds kind of ridiculous. Existence is chaos, nothing makes any sense, so we try to make some sense of it. And I'm just lucky that the chaos I emerged into gave me all this, my own glorious purpose. Because the TVA is my life, and it's real because I believe it's real.
Fair enough. You believe it's real.
Yeah.
So everything is written, past, present, future. There's no such thing as free will.
Well, I mean, you know, it's an oversimplification.
So in fact, in a way, you and I, here at the TVA, we're the only ones who are actually free.
Where are you going with this, Loki?
How does it all end?
That's a work in progress.
Oh, those lazy timekeepers, what are they waiting for?
Au contraire. No, because while we protect what came before, they're toiling away in their chamber, untangling the epilogue from its infinite branches.
I see. So, when they're finished, what happens then?
So are we. No more Nexus events, just order, and we meet in peace at the end of time. Nice, right?
Only order.
Mm-hmm.
No chaos. It sounds boring.
I'm sure it does to you.
So I know that was a long clip, and thank you for bearing with me in that one, but there is just so much in there, and the characters themselves are making the points that the show is making, and there's no need for me to break into it and explain it to you. It's a perfectly executed conversation. And when you think about it, what Owen Wilson or Asmobius is saying, yes, it does kind of sound, I mean, ridiculous. I mean, the future is all written, and they're toiling. The timekeepers are toiling away, writing the future and trying to make it all work. And then all of a sudden, everything's going to be okay. Yes, sure. Okay, whatevs. How many drugs are you on, buddy? That's what it feels like. But that's why this show and shows like it are so important to the MCU, because you have these amazing conversations that you just don't have the bandwidth for in the large movies. You don't have the time to sit down at a lunch table in a cafeteria and talk about the future in all of eternity. It's amazing. But remember, this conversation actually takes place after Loki proves he could find Lady Loki hiding in apocalyptic events completely free of the timekeeper's management. Why is this important? Because Loki's discovery renders Mobius's theory about the TVA, how they are in control of every event, and the entire hook of the first episode, it renders it inert. The Infinity Stones don't matter? Who cares? Loki's realization that the TVA might be the most powerful force in existence doesn't matter anymore. What does matter is Lady Loki's plan and how it proves there is more to this story than just the timey-wimey hijinks of the first episode. This is an argument between mere mortals for time immemorial. Free will versus determinism is how this show moves beyond its hook, and it keeps the story moving forward beyond the plot mechanics and keeps us interested to keep going forward. What is going to happen next? What is the outcome? What will Loki find about this world if it's part of free will or if it is determined for us? And by the end of this series, hopefully we will watch Loki struggle with his place in this argument and make choices that shine a greater light on his truer nature. And again, as if you are a Marion Blake Media fan, you know that I love to quote Robert McKee. And I love his book called Story. McKee says, truer character is revealed in the choices a human being makes under pressure. The greater the pressure, the deeper the revelation. The truer the choice to the character's essential nature. Choice is the ultimate goal because it allows us to invest in character, which makes the story that much more personal. And the more personal that the story means, that becomes a more compelling struggle, which translates for all of us into one important thing. Say it with me now, drama. As such, the more drama that we have, the story becomes exponentially better. And that is the reason why we watch film or we watch television, for drama. Make no mistake, we're already witnessing the story moving forward into the position of hard choices for Loki. Loki tried to stall at the beginning of the episode, only to be outsmarted by Mobius. Loki, the character, tested his boundaries, and it's action he continues to follow even when he tells Mobius later on that he's 10 steps ahead of him and he's playing his own game. Of course, once again, only to be outwitted by the everyman, Mobius, as he recites Loki's overly predictable plan to get in front of the timekeepers and overthrow them. But do you see what just happened there? By doing what he thinks is unpredictable, Loki, the character, is, in fact, predictable. His actions are prescribed. The more and more he tries to outwit Mobius, take, for example, copping to the fact that he's literally stabbed people in the back like 50 times, the more determined his fate is going to be. He will always be the god of mischief. He will always be the capital V villain. You could even argue that Loki goes into Rocksmart, where they finally figure out Lady Loki is hiding, with the plan to actually find the quote-unquote lesser Loki variant and prune her from existence like all the other Lokis who have been pruned by the TVA. Perhaps there was a smidge of chance he would betray Mobius' trust, but I honestly believe Loki, the character desired to earn the trust of the TVA agents, if for nothing else than to somehow gain an audience with the Timekeepers and enact his laughably predictable plan. So, how do we go from Loki admitting that he needs to earn trust at the beginning of this episode to then Loki blindly following Lady Loki into the time door? How do we get from one end to the other in a matter of 45 minutes? Well, that's what this episode is about. Free will, of course. The first episode, and even the second, establishes that Loki is at the TVA because the Timekeepers have allowed it. Can he go back to his timeline? No. But his future, as a variant, is still determined by the Timekeepers. Whether he gets pruned or whether or not he is allowed to live, the Timekeepers are allowing it. Order. No chaos. And remember what Loki says about no chaos? It's boring. But why? Why is it boring? It's easy to limit our answer to free will and the desire to stand firmly in denial of determinism. Yeah, it's great to say that. I mean, I'd like to think I have free will. I imagine that you would like to think that you have free will. Maybe you're driving your car right now, or maybe you're at the gym, or you're going for a walk, or you're cooking dinner, you're washing dishes. Maybe all of a sudden you decide to say, screw it. I'm on the highway, I'm opening the door, and I'm getting out. You know what will happen, but are you going to do it? Do you have the free will? But is that it, though? The answer to free will. Is it that simple? Well, like all things regarding Loki, no. As he says, no one good is ever truly good, and no one who is bad is ever truly bad. And the same can be said about Loki's literal and figurative choice to run after Lady Loki whilst Mobius and the TVA crew barrel down the aisle to stop him. What do you want from me? What is this about? Loki screams as at his variant counterpart. And we get the gorgeous reveal of the variant's true form as Lady Loki, as we played at the beginning of this episode. And keep in mind, though, the version of Loki, the character that we are seeing now, is the Loki who was just captured after the events of Avengers. And up until this point, every situation in which we have seen him interact has, in fact, been about him. It's only natural for him to assume he has a larger role to play in whatever plan which has been set in motion. It has to be about him, Loki. Well, why? Because it always has been. So when Lady Loki confidently responds to Loki's line of questioning with, "This isn't about you," as the canisters are ejected into whatever time reality they're headed, oh man, we are physically shown what we can presume Loki has just recognized. Nexus events are birthed at an uncontrollable rate throughout the sacred timeline. What a way to end the episode, and what a line. How that just cuts so deep into the character and the heart of Loki as we know him. Oh, this isn't about you. That is like the worst thing Loki the character can ever hear. Lady Loki's plan is a tactile representation of free will and the undoing of the quote-unquote sacred timeline as maintained by the timekeepers, who in themselves are tactical or tactile representation of determinism. And despite his hatred of the lesser Loki, our Loki finally reacts in an unpredictable manner. He chooses free will over the order he promised to uphold with Mobius. Instead of being reactionary, desperate, or fulfilling the orders of a giant purple alien in Thanos, Loki chooses to be proactive in his desire to live a life free of any strings. He chooses to follow Lady Loki. It's the first choice that he has made that has not been predetermined. It is the first choice that he has made in this show so far where we say, whoa, oh, that is unexpected. Of course, Lady Loki may have created this scenario, but Loki chooses to jump into the unknown for the sake of his destiny, and perhaps to learn a little bit more about what Lady Loki has planned for all these years. But as a result of this overall plan, it's implicit that Loki doesn't see Lady Loki as the lesser Loki anymore, but rather an equal from which there might be a lot to learn. Like how to take sole control of his life and break the bonds of determinism. the timekeepers. Time for Apropos of Nothing for Loki episode 102, The Variant. Watching B-15 take Loki's daggers away was one of the most underrated and comical moments of this series so far. It is perfect. And the Pompeii scene is a perfect example of the excellent, outstanding, I mean, just blow your doors off chemistry between the leads of Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier should be furiously taking notes from this scene. And does anyone else think of Roz in Monsters, Inc. when Loki chats with the archive librarian? Oh, man. I think my favorite line from this entire episode, though, is, yes, very sad. Anyway, you know, it's one of those things that Loki... You would imagine he really does care about the fate of Asgard. I mean, he sees the file and there is this beautiful moment where he kind of falls within himself and it's an emotional moment. But it's also part of his character to just brush it away when it's most convenient. It is such a great moment. And of course, the exposition that we have with Asgard and Ragnarok is done so well. And it's not fancy, it's not crazy, it's just a little salt, some pepper, salad, and a juice box of Boku. If you remember Boku from all those years ago, oh god, it was so gross, it was like a juice box for adults. With those few things, I must give so much credit to the writers. They made it so easy to understand how a variant can live within these apocalyptic moments because everything gets erased away. It doesn't matter how much salt and pepper you put on it. It's just going to go away anyway. It all gets washed away by Boku. And I have to say this. Who else here thinks that the timekeepers are just a crock of S? Because you know what? I absolutely do. I think it's just all one big lie. Well, that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. Let's close it out, shall we? Oh, you know, I have to just say that this score is incredible. And you can actually go now and purchase it on iTunes or wherever you want to go, to wherever you go to get your music. It's, again, Natalie Holt is incredible. I love this score. Anyway, go to marianblake.com. Check out all the great podcasts that we have going on there. A lot of great stuff. And, of course, if you find value in the MCU Diaries, what we talk about here, how we break things down in terms of story and writing and direction and cinematography, please do provide a written review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you listen to your podcasts. Or, of course, if you can even go to Facebook as well, just go to the Marian Blake page and write a review there. It doesn't necessarily mean that the show will become more popular, or some people will tell you, oh, you know, this makes my show get up in the ratings more. No, it's all full of crap. That is all 100% full of crap. All the reviews do is just give a real-time, actual thought or an idea for future listeners to say, hey, this show's pretty good. Or, hey, this show sucks. Don't listen to it. Of course, I would love for you to say that you like this show. So please do give me a written review and some stars to whatever you think this show is deserving. I love Loki so far. This, it might be beating out WandaVision for my favorite MCU show yet. It's close. We're getting there, man. We're getting there. And also, there's another community that you can join here, too. It's the Mary and Blake Facebook group that is free. And if you really want to support all things at Mary and Blake Media, you can do so by going to jointhenerdclan.com, where you can become a member there and you get free swag, early access to these podcast episodes, special premium podcasts, our knee-jerk reactions to everything that we watch here at Mary and Blake Media, book clubs, and so much more. If you want to help support a homegrown mom-and-pop podcast company like mine, then go to jointhenerdclan.com, become a member there, and get all great perks that nobody else does. On to the next episode, ladies and gents. I'm so excited. And it's the halfway point. Already, we are getting to the halfway point next episode of Loki. Let's see what it brings. All right, everybody. We'll see you later.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.